look at verses 34 through 38 today. John chapter 4, verses 34 and 38. That'll be our focal passage. We'll go a little beyond that. We are going to be discussing this morning one of the basic fundamental principles of the Christian faith, and that is evangelism. There is no shortage of people in our world who need to hear about Jesus. David Platt says that there are well over a billion people in the world today who have little to no knowledge of Jesus, little to no knowledge of the gospel, and little to no chance of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ before they die. There are many who are unreached. Out of the 7.9 billion people in our world, there are about 3 billion people who identify as a religion that is non-Christian or as atheist or non-religious. There are around 2.8 billion people who would be what we would consider unreached, having no knowledge of the gospel whatsoever. The remaining 2 billion people are people who claim to be Christians. And what that tells us is that we are surrounded by people who need to hear the gospel, people that don't know Jesus, who have not accepted Jesus. There should be a priority of evangelism in our church, but also in our personal lives. Now, I know at some point we think about that and think, well, I don't like this message. It's a little uncomfortable because, you know, maybe I'm not very good at this. I want you to hold on. We'll talk a little more about that. If we get everything else right, though, as a church, if we study God's Word, if we pray, if we live rightly before people, if we have this building and we have these ministries, we live moral lives, we fight for justice in the world, we meet people's physical needs, we do all of these things, if we do everything right, but we fail to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've completely missed the point of the gospel message. And honestly, at that point, we have nothing to celebrate. In August of 1985, the New Orleans Municipal Pool finished its first pool season without a single drowning incident, and they wanted to celebrate that. They have 14 pools, and so they had no incidents that year. The lifeguards held a party around a pool to celebrate their summer. 200 people gathered for this party. 100 of those people were certified lifeguards. 4 of them who were on duty at the pool party. At the end of the night, they are starting to get people out of the pool. They're going to close down. They're finishing the party, and they discover a fully dressed floating body at the deep end of the pool. They pulled him out. They tried to revive him, but it was too late. 31-year-old Jerome Moody had drowned, surrounded by 100 certified lifeguards celebrating their successful season. Folks, how many sinners are sinking into the very depths of hell, surrounded by Christians? Jesus taught his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but he said the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. So he asked them, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So we need to be a church that is diligent in prayer, but diligent in praying that God would send out laborers into the harvest. We also, though, need to recognize that we are those laborers. We are the ones being sent out. While God could have established a multitude of ways of reaching the world with the message of the gospel, he could have established a multitude of ways of proclaiming salvation to this lost world. He chose, his chosen mode, his chosen method is to reach the lost through the witness of Christians. Our Baptist faith and message says that it is the duty of every child of God to seek constantly to win the lost to Christ by verbal witness, undergirded by a Christian lifestyle. Every Christian of every walk of life has both the duty and the privilege to share Jesus with the world. Every Christian person should be an evangelist, should see evangelism as a responsibility that is given by Christ, and should consider it a great privilege to join in the work that God is doing in the world. So we're looking at John chapter 4, verses 34 through 38. I'm going to read this, but I'm going to pick up in verse 31. And if you would, stand with me for the reading of God's word. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest?' Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." You can be seated. So this morning we're going to consider three principles from Jesus' message to his disciples on the priority of evangelism. The first being the task of evangelism is given to all believers. The second is the time for evangelism is now. And the third is the toil of evangelism is worth it. So let's look at the task of evangelism. It is something that is given to every believer. Look at verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Now, there are several truths that we can glean from this particular verse. One is that Jesus was sent by God. Jesus was sent by God to do his will and to accomplish his work. 1 John chapter 4 tells us that in this is love, is the love of God. He was made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. See, Jesus came into the world with a mission, with a purpose. The book of Luke summarizes that mission very well. It says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. It was the will of God that Jesus would be the sacrificial lamb for the world. It was the will of God that Jesus would come to earth and live a perfect life and seek out the lost to proclaim the coming kingdom to them and to lead people to place their faith in him. Evangelism, then, is the fulfillment of the will of God to declare the good news to the world, the good news of the Messiah. Now, Jesus called his disciples to that same mission. Because we can look at that and say, well, this is what Jesus was called to do, but we have to recognize that we are called to be his hands and feet in the world as the body of Christ. He's called us to this mission. You remember what Jesus said to Andrew and Peter when he was calling them? He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of..." Fishers of what? Men. "I will make you fishers of men." Jesus' disciples then were meant to be fishers of men. They were meant to declare a message to the world that they might hear this message, that they might hear about Jesus and come into the kingdom of God. Maybe part of our hesitancy sometimes, or our failure in sharing the gospel, is just the idea that we don't really believe that we're on mission. Now we say, people are sent out into mission field. We talk about people called to preach or to teach or to do these things, but what about those who aren't called to either of those things? What about those that are just, you know, living life doing whatever we do? Maybe we don't see that we are also called to be on mission for Christ. Just as Jesus was sent out by the Father to do His will and to accomplish His work, so we are sent out by Jesus and we are commissioned to make disciples of all nations. Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. And like I said before, God could have chosen a whole multitude of ways to reach the lost, but says He makes His appeal through us. Therefore, we are to implore people on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. We are called to proclaim the excellencies of God in this world. John says that we are chosen. He chose us. And we are appointed. He appointed us that we should go and bear fruit. So the exhortation for Christians to share the gospel, this is not something new. It is something that has been written in the pages of the Bible for centuries, for thousands of years. And this book has been persecuted, and there has been hatred and mockery toward it. There was attempts to silence the words that are written in it, but we have it, and we have it in our hands so that we can read it and we can know what God's will. And I'm not sure how God can make our purpose and our mission any more obvious than what He does in His Word. Y'all remember the movie The Blues Brothers? Some of you might. It's an older movie. But they thought that they were on a mission from God. And all it took for them to be on a mission from God is the sunlight to shine through a window and shine on them, and then for them to be screamed at about, do you see the light? I mean, James Brown, you know, he really got the message across. Do you see the light? Yes, we're on a mission from God. Now we don't need that. We have the Word of God written, given to us. We can read it. We have the very words of God Himself. We are commissioned by this Word to share the gospel. And sometimes we're like, you know, what if I do it wrong? I'm not very good at it. Maybe I need to work a little more at this or that. We question it. And maybe sometimes our biggest mistake is in evangelism or in sharing our faith is just we just make it overly complicated. We hear the word evangelism, it strikes fear in our hearts, and we think, well, I need more training. I need to know more about the Bible. I need a program. I need developed methods for me to use. I need the exact words to say. I need to figure out how to make this message appealing so that people will hear it and listen. And you know, and then we start thinking to ourselves, well, what if I mess up? What if they don't hear it? What if they reject me? And our thoughts become so overwhelming and the task becomes so overwhelming that we simply resolve in our hearts that we're just not qualified for the job. But I want to try to make it as easy as possible for you this morning. Because sharing your faith is not a difficult thing. The word evangelism comes from two Greek words, euangelion, meaning good news, and euangelizo, meaning to announce good news. And you'll notice in the word evangelism, there's the word angel kind of sandwiched right in the middle. And what were the angels? They were messengers of God. We are simply messengers of good news. We bring good news. What is that good news? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. There's nothing complicated about that. It's the good news of God changing your heart, your life, helping you to see that you were a sinner and lost without Him, and that you were in need of His grace. To preach the gospel is simply to share the message of His life and His death and His resurrection. Sinful man is separated from God. Because He is holy, because He is righteous. Death and eternal judgment are the inevitable conclusions of man's sin. Therefore, there is nothing we can do to change our sinful state, and we can say that we are lost. without him. Yet God had compassion on us. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. He saw the plight of humanity, the lostness, and he sent Jesus in our place to take upon himself the sins and the shame that belongs to us. And he dies in our place, receiving the full penalty of our sins and our shame. He sets us free so that we can stand righteously before God, so that we can stand and worship him today. We are new creations because of Christ. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. He offers his love and his grace and his mercy as a free gift for those who would believe in his name. That's the message that we proclaim to the world, because that's the message that changes us. Consider how easy it was for the woman of Samaria. Now, right before this verse, Jesus has been talking to the woman at the well. And consider how she shared the gospel. One day, he's heading to Galilee, but they're traveling through Samaria. They come to a town in Samaria called Sychar. Jesus was weary. He was hungry. The disciples were weary and hungry. So Jesus goes and he sets down by the well. And while he does, the disciples go into the town where they're going to get some food and they're going to bring it back to Jesus. While he's sitting there, a woman comes up to draw water. Now, just so we fully grasp and understand the situation, here is a Jewish rabbi and a Samaritan woman. And Jews and Samaritans, they don't get along. They don't like each other. They're not going to talk to each other. A Jewish rabbi certainly isn't going to talk to a Samaritan woman who, at the time, had five husbands and then is currently living with another man who isn't her husband. And so there was all kinds of things here that were going on. And Jesus breaks protocol and pretty much destroys every social norm at the time, and he just begins to speak to the woman, ask her to get him a drink. And they have this conversation by the end of the conversation, she realizes who it is. She believes that he is the Messiah, and then she hears that good news, and as she does, she sets down her water jug, and she runs into the town to tell others. Now, what's interesting is we don't even know if she actually drew water for Jesus or not. He could be sitting there still thirsty. She just left the jug and took off. She came into the town, and just imagine what she would have been saying. Listen, do you guys know? Do you guys know the Messiah who has been prophesied? Guess what? He's sitting at the well right now. He told me everything I've ever done in my life. This must be Jesus. This must be Christ. This must be the Messiah. You have to come. You have to hear this guy. You have to hear what he has to say. That's evangelism. And it was born out of the joy in her heart, the excitement of what she had experienced. And evangelism is simply that. It is the response of a grateful heart, quickened by the work of the Holy Spirit, to declare to others the message that changed our lives. We speak then from experience. We've been talking week after week about the Christian life. We pray, we read God's Word, we serve the Lord, we do all of these things, and as we are doing these things, we are experiencing God. We are working in the world, and God is moving and doing all these things, and it is out of that experience in our life that we go and we share the gospel. We share it from experience. Maybe sometimes part of our fear in sharing the gospel is the fact that we're not experiencing it in our own lives. Maybe we've stepped back from God's word. Maybe we don't pray. Maybe other than coming to church on Sunday or Wednesday, we're not really living the Christian walk outside of these doors. And in that regard, if we're going to tell people about Jesus, we're going to have a hard time speaking from experience when we're not experiencing Jesus. It is so important for us as believers to continue in faith to serve the Lord every day. Share out of that experience to others, the joy that we are experiencing in our own life, the peace that we have in our relationship with Christ. Do you have peace in your relationship with Jesus today? While Jesus is talking to the woman, the disciples, they get back with the food. And they're disturbed by what they see, Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, and they don't say anything at first, or, you know, they don't say anything at all. They're concerned. They express their concern, like, why is he talking to this lady? They don't say anything. They just go to Jesus and they say, Jesus, eat. Here, we brought you food. And Jesus confuses them a little bit. He says, I have food to eat that you do not know about. To which they talk among themselves. All right. We went all the way to town to get this food. Who came and gave Jesus food while we were gone? What's going on here? They don't make the connection that he's talking about something far deeper. And what we need to see is that Jesus made evangelism a priority even over earthly needs and necessities. He made it a priority. The disciples' concern was their search for food to care for the physical needs of Jesus. And for themselves. And make no mistake, Jesus was weary and he was hungry from the travel. What they were doing wasn't wrong, but their physical priorities caused them to miss the spiritual blessing that was going on right before their eyes. So they urge him to eat, but Jesus, not wanting them to miss the blessing of the kingdom work that is happening right then and there, he says, My food is to do the will of God. To accomplish his work and his purpose, to advance the kingdom, to reach the lost, to share the good news, to bring salvation to the world. That was Jesus' mission. That was his purpose. But he said, that's my food. That's what sustains me. That's what fills me. It makes us think about our own lives. How often do we let our physical and carnal priorities take precedence over our spiritual priorities? Now, we don't see how much of a drain that is on our souls. We don't see how much it weakens us to be spiritually idle. We don't see how malnourished we are when we feast on worldliness and pay little attention to godliness. We don't see how sick we really are. And if we would but read and pray and seek the Lord and proclaim the gospel to the dying world, maybe we would find spiritual health and renewal in our life. Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he's saying the same things to his disciples. I have food you do not know about, but that you can have that too. If you just see. Carrying out the mission of God and the ministry of God, it nurtures the soul. Jesus says to his disciples, I have this food. You don't know about it. And he's speaking of the fulfillment and the joy that he has in declaring the good news and in doing God's will. I said earlier that evangelism is not only the duty of Christians, but it is also the privilege. It's not the kind of task that we should think about and it make us cringe. Now, there's a lot of things that we do in life that we don't want to do. There's a lot of tasks that we have to do that we just cringe at the thought of it, like paying taxes. Like whoever gets to that and says, woohoo, it's tax season. Excited about it. We don't want to do that. But sometimes we treat evangelism or reaching out the same way. Like, I don't know. It's not something that we should cringe at. Evangelism is the task that brings joy. It should bring joy to our hearts and peace to our souls. Jesus says, this is my food. It's what sustains him. It's a part of his spiritual life to do the will and the work of the Father. How often then are we missing the blessings of God that might otherwise nourish and encourage our souls, because we're not living to do the will of God and to accomplish His purpose in the world. The task of evangelism is the will of God for every believer. The task to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it is the will of God for every blood-bought, born-again Christian who has been washed in the cleansing blood of Jesus, whose sins are forgiven, who has been made white as snow. You are commissioned into the service of your Savior as an ambassador for Christ, to be His hands and feet in the world. You are the body of Christ, carrying out His mission to seek and to save the lost. You are God's chosen method to reach people with the gospel. You are called, you are equipped, you are commanded to make Him known in the world, to shine brightly in the darkness, to reach the lost with the message of the gospel. And when we are not doing that, it's a detriment to our soul. It weakens us, and we are malnourished. You're missing the blessing of new life in Christ. But the lost world around you is missing the blessing of the gospel that's not being shared. It is our calling. Second thing I want you to see from the text this morning is that the time to evangelize, the time to share the gospel is now. Look at verse 35. Jesus says, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." So the fields are ready. And when the fields are ready for harvest, that means it's time to get to work. The question is, what are we waiting for? Jesus asked the disciples that question. "Don't you say that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest?" In other words, you think you have time. We have 4 months before the harvest comes, before work needs to be done. From that perspective, you think that you have time. You don't have to be in a hurry, but you're wrong. Open your eyes and see that the fields are ready now. And here Jesus is helping us to see not only the urgency of the gospel, but also to understand that there are so many distractions in this life, and sometimes we just need to look up. We need to see. We need to open our eyes and see who is around us and see what is going on around us and what God is doing. It's time to lay down excuses and get to work. That's when the harvest is ready, it's time to get to work, and that's what God has called us to do. Lift up your eyes and see, He says. It's so easy for us to miss our purpose or to miss meaning in things. You'll notice Jesus, how He's often talking to people about spiritual things and they have no clue what He's talking about. When He says to Nicodemus, "Hey, you need to be born again," Nicodemus says, "That's weird. Like, how do I go back into my mother's womb a second time? That doesn't make sense." He didn't get it. When He goes to the woman at the well, He says to the woman, "Hey, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask Me for a drink, and I would give you living water, and you'll never thirst again." And she says, "Rabbi, I want that. Give me the living water so I don't have to come back to this well every day and get water." She didn't get it. The disciples, when they come to Jesus, they say, "Here's your food." Jesus says, "I have food to eat that you don't understand, you don't know about." And they're like, "All right, who gave Him food?" So often, we are distracted by this world that we don't see that there is a spiritual world going on around us. There are spiritual things going on around us, and God is working and moving. What the disciples needed was for their spiritual eyes to be open to see what was right in front of them. Jesus tells His disciples, "Lift up your eyes and see. Look and see." He wants them to look past the physical realm of the moment and to gaze at the spiritual. Sometimes we need to lift our eyes, we need to look through this world, through the lenses of Christ, and remove the distractions and the lies that it tells us that continues to steal our joy. And we need to see that the God of the harvest has been planting and has been cultivating all around us, and that the harvest is ready. Right now, God has placed you in a circle of influence, and I don't know what that is or where that is or who you influence, but ultimately he has placed you in a circle of influence, and within that circle, the fields are white for harvest. Think about your friends. Think about your family. Think about your coworkers. Think about your neighbors. It's time to share Christ with them. Maybe you have, and there's some struggle there. Maybe you say, you don't know my coworkers. Like, I don't think this is ever going to happen. I don't think they're ever going to accept Jesus. Listen, God is working in ways that we can't even possibly imagine or understand. While Jesus is talking to his disciples, they have no idea that there is a group of Samaritans from town currently walking their way. And how crazy is it that this group of Samaritans are going to see a Jewish rabbi who they believe may be the Messiah based on the testimony of a woman who most likely did not have much respect in that town? The most unlikely of people in the most unlikely of circumstances are going to come to Christ that very day, right before their eyes. And sometimes we don't know what God's doing. We don't know who God is working in. We just need to share the message. Chase Gabriel is an IMB missionary. He says this: if the sinfulness of man is universal, if the necessity of faith in Christ alone is non-negotiable, if the reality of an eternal hell is irrevocable for those who do not repent and believe, then we must emphasize the proclamation of good news at all times, to all people, in all places, until the Lord returns. Jesus has already sown the seed, so to speak. The harvest is ready. The time to act is now. Even now as we speak, God's working all throughout the world, changing hearts, causing people to repent of their sin and turn to Christ and believe in him. People from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. And our role is to simply share the message of Christ. That's how we reap the harvest. Last thing I want you to see out of the text today is that the toil of evangelism is worth the effort. It's worth the effort and the risk to share Jesus. Look at verse 36. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true: one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Reaping the harvest is worth the effort. Jesus says they are receiving their wages and gathering the fruit, and all of it is for eternal life. Sharing Christ means we are not only living for Christ or living as Christians in this world, but we are also caring about others in such a way that we are telling them about Jesus. And Jesus is helping his disciples to understand that this is something that is worth the effort. It is worth the risk. The one reaping, the one gathering the fruit, they're doing so for eternal life, and that reward is incalculable. Leon Morris writes, "The task is not some insignificant one where it does not matter much whether or not it is done. Jesus is talking about work in a field where the eternal welfare of people is at stake. The mission that we have is not an insignificant one. It's important. When someone comes to know Christ, we don't simply gain them as a brother or sister in Christ for the moment. We don't simply gain them as a church member or whatever. We gain them for all eternity. Every soul is worth the effort." I've used this quote from Spurgeon before, and every time I read it, it strikes me in the depths of my soul. I want to share it with you again today. Spurgeon says, "If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. It's worth the effort. It's worth the struggle. Even if they won't listen, even if you are rejected time and time again, never stop warning, never stop caring, never stop praying. Let the church never be silent. And reaping brings joy. The sower and the reaper rejoice together. There is joy in sharing the gospel and leading people to come to know Christ. I remember when I first started coming to Temple, I wasn't a believer. I wasn't churched, so I didn't know much about church when I was coming to services. And I remember sitting in a service when there was somebody who was baptized. And after the baptism, everybody stood up and clapped and cheered and celebrated. And I, you know, being somebody who was just kind of new to the process, said, okay, here's something important. Let's make a note of this. Baptism, important. Somebody coming to know Jesus, that's important. I saw it in the heart of the church as we cheered and celebrated and clapped for this person who had been baptized. And ultimately, that's how it should be. We should be rejoicing and celebrating when somebody comes to know Christ. And we are not the only ones who rejoice and celebrate. Jesus himself says, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The host of heaven celebrates with us. Sharing Jesus, seeing people come to Christ, that should bring joy to the hearts of people whose hearts have been changed by the gospel. And it's not something that we do on our own. It's a group effort. Jesus says, I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Jesus and his followers, the Old Testament writers, the prophets, all have done a hard work of sowing. And Jesus' sacrifice on the cross has done the hard work of overcoming death and earning forgiveness and giving eternal life. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to do the hard work of conviction in a person's life. Now we get to come in after all of that work is done, and we get to be the beneficiaries of that work to go out and to reap the harvest of what has already been sown. One sows, he says, another reaps. Both the reaper and the sower have an important role to play in the ancient world. If you said that phrase, one sows and one reaps, that would be actually a negative thing. Because what you're saying is that, well, one person does all of the work and the other one gets to reap all the benefits, and it's just not fair. It's not right if you build the house and plant the vineyard and someone else comes along and gets to reap all the benefits from that. And so it was actually a negative saying. Jesus is taking that idea and he's flipping it into a positive, and he's saying that in the case of soul winning, both the sower and the reaper are equally rejoicing in the outcome. Together, there is a celebration. We've been given the task to evangelize, but we've also been given a guarantee that our work is not in vain, because Jesus is already working in the hearts and lives of men and women all around us. And we have to believe that God may be working in the most unlikely of places with the most unlikely of people in the most unlikely circumstances. Evangelism is our God-given responsibility to carry out the mission that was started by those who came before us. We pick up the mantle, we carry the torch, we are part of the biblical narrative that is still being written today, and we are carrying on the mission of Jesus Christ in the world. That's who we are. Every martyr, every biblical translator who was burned alive, every missionary who's been murdered, every Christian persecuted before us, they were sowing and reaping and doing the hard work to advance the kingdom, a responsibility that now directly falls to us. One has sown before through blood and sweat and tears, through the nails of Jesus on the cross. We have a plentiful harvest that we are now sent out into the world to reap. And that for us should be both encouraging and humbling. It should be encouraging to know that we go out into a world and God's already working. It should be humbling to know that God entrusts such a task to us. The task of evangelism has been given to all believers. The time to evangelize is now. The toil is worth it. Immediately after Jesus teaches his disciples about the priority of evangelism, the Samaritans town, the town folk show up. They ask Jesus to stay with them a couple days, and he does so. And the Bible says that Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus. The Samaritan woman didn't go to seminary. She didn't have a PhD in evangelism, and she had only been a Christian for a few minutes before her meager testimony led a whole town to come see Jesus. It wasn't her witness that saved them, because it couldn't save them. She merely led them to where Jesus was. She merely pointed to Jesus, and Jesus did the rest. The whole crowd confessed, "This man, he is indeed the Savior of the world." And that's all we're doing. It's not complicated. We're just leading people to the Savior of the world. It's a duty and a privilege for every follower of Christ. When God looks at Temple Baptist Church, let it never be said of us that the workers are few. May it never be said of us that we were silent. Rather, let it be said of us that when God called, we said, "Here am I. Send me." Several weeks ago, we talked about the importance of the priority of prayer. And we ask you to begin to pray diligently every day for more people to pray. And I would like to add to your prayer list today, as you are praying that God would raise up prayer warriors within the church, that you would also pray that God would raise up a host of soul winners. It's an equally important task in the kingdom work of God. It's what we've been called to.